On this 10th day of July 2006, we are studying the Bhagavad Gita as it is, translation and commentary by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. And we are in chapter 1, entitled Observing the Armies. Text?
3 or 4.
Text 3 or 4. All right, let's do text 3. Text 3. This title, yeah, this is Observing the Armies. Pashyaitam bandhaputranam acharya mahatim chamum vyudham drupadaputrena tavashishyena dhimata. O my teacher, behold the great army of the sons of Pandu, so expertly arranged by your intelligent disciple, the son of Drupada. Purport. Duryodhana, a great diplomat, wanted to point out the defects of Dronacharya, the great Brahmin commander-in-chief. Dronacharya had some political quarrel with King Drupada, the father of Draupadi, who was Arjuna's wife. As a result of this quarrel, Drupada performed a great sacrifice by which he received the benediction of having a son who would be able to kill Dronacharya. Dronacharya knew this perfectly well, and yet, as a liberal Brahmin, he did not hesitate to impart all his military secrets when the son of Drupada, Drishtadyumna, was entrusted to him for military education. Now, on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, Drishtadyumna took the side of the Pandavas, and it was he who arranged for their military phalanx, after having learned the art from Dronacharya. Duryodhana pointed out this mistake of Dronacharya's so that he might be alert and uncompromising in the fighting. By this, he wanted to point out also that he should not be similarly lenient in battle against the Pandavas, who were also Dronacharya's affectionate students. Arjuna especially was his most affectionate and brilliant student. Duryodhana also warned that such leniency in the fight would lead to defeat. Om Gyana Tamarandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshu Unmadatam Mena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. I was born in the darkness of ignorance. My spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I offer my humble obeisances unto him. So on the material platform, this battle of Kurukshetra was very complicated. And one of the reasons was is because there's these divided loyalties and affections. The very dilemma that Arjuna will find himself in at the end of this chapter, when he decides that he can't fight, is because he has, on the opposite side, which would titularly his enemies, he finds his spiritual master, Dronacharya, his military spiritual master, the great grandfather Bhishma, who was to be honored by all the Kurus, the Pandavas were also Kurus, as well as other friends and relatives and all kinds of people who he had great affection for. Now, on the side of Duryodhana, he's also worried because of what he perceives to be divided loyalties among, first of all, Dronacharya. Dronacharya is a key figure. He's a Brahmin, but he is learned in the art of war. You know, in the Vedas, part of the Vedas is called Dhanur Veda. Dhanur means bow. So that symbolizes military weapons. So Dhanur Veda is the science of war. There's an art. You know, there's whole colleges in America, you know, to teach how to fight war. So Dronacharya was the teacher of both the Pandavas as well as the Kurus, the sons of Dhritarashtra. He had trained them all, as well as Karna. And so, he had a quarrel with Drupada, and Drupada had performed his sacrifice so that his son could kill Dronacharya. And his son was Drishtadyumna. He had manifest from a fire. And so Drishtadyumna, he was on the side of the Pandavas, because on that side he would be able to fight against Dronacharya, and ultimately he did kill him. So Dronacharya, who was so magnanimous, even though he knew that Drishtadyumna was fated to kill him, he still trained him up in battle. This is the sign of the true Brahmin, that he doesn't hesitate to teach anyone who comes to him for education. But Duryodhan was afraid that Dronacharya had great affection for the Pandavas especially, because he had trained them as well, and Arjun was his best student. He was known to be his greatest student. So Duryodhan is very afraid that although he has, the on paper anyway, the superior military force, he has all of these complications that perhaps his side won't fight as hard as they should. And the same thing is there for Bhishma. Bhishma is also very affectionate toward the Pandavas because these are very righteous souls, but they found themselves by circumstance on the side of Duryodhan instead of the side of the Pandavas. And so he's also worried that Bhishma, who is the greatest fighter of all, the great-grandfather, would also have divided loyalties and wouldn't fight hard enough. And later on, although it's, I don't think it's mentioned here in the Bhagavad Gita, Bhishma, to prove his military honor, if you will, that whoever he's committed to, he will fight as hard as he can, he declared one day that Krishna will have to break his vow or I will kill Arjuna today. Krishna had taken a vow that he wouldn't fight. He was just the chariot driver of Arjuna, but he wouldn't fight. And he gave his whole army to Duryodhan. Duryodhan had his army, and Arjuna just got Krishna, but Krishna said he wouldn't fight. So on paper, it looks like, oh, Arjuna got the worst deal. But there's only one catch. Krishna happens to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So whoever side he's on is definitely going to win. But Duryodhan didn't have that faith. I see, that's his problem. He didn't really have faith in Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And so, but he was worried that the affection of Bhishma would weaken his, you know, his will or his desire to fight. And so Bhishma said, no, I'm going to fight as hard as I can, and I will force Krishna to break his vow today, or his friend Arjuna will be killed. I will kill his friend Arjuna. And indeed, that's what happened. Near the end of the fighting in the day, each day would start at dawn. They would blow a conch shell, as we'll see soon, and that would signify the beginning of the fighting. And then at dusk, when the sun goes down, they would blow the conch shells again. The fighting would be over. And then sometimes they would have dinner in each other's tents. You know, it was like this. It was almost like a soccer match or something. You know, and then afterward, you know, you could. But this was the rules of war. Now, as the battle, it was like 18 days, I think, the battle took. Those broke down. Those strict rules broke down until finally, Ashwatthama, who was the son of Dronacharya, he actually killed the five little sons of Draupadi. Was it Draupadi? Not Draupadi. Oh, sorry, I'm sorry on the detail. But they were the little sons who were going to be the heirs of the Pandavas. And so his idea was that, oh, well, okay, maybe they won the war, but this will be the end of them because they weren't going to have any more children. You know, so that's completely out of the realm of law, of military law, that you kill children like that. So this was a heinous act, and which he was punished for. But it just goes at the end of the fighting, it got so bloody and they were so desperate to win that these rules broke down. But at the beginning here, you know, they had these strict rules. So Bhishma, he was, what happened was that he was about to kill Arjuna, and Krishna got off the chariot, he took up a wheel, and it, you know, it was like his chakra, and he was ready to kill Bhishma. And Bhishma would say, yes, come on, I'm ready. You know, he wasn't fighting it, he wanted to be killed by Krishna, because he's really a devotee. But then, the conch is blew, and that was the end of the fighting. You know, Arjuna was trying to stop him, and then the fighting ended, and so he didn't actually kill Bhishma. But Krishna did break his vow. He did take up the wheel to fight. So Bhishma fulfilled that and proved that his military honor was such that he would fight as hard as he could for the side he was committed on. So in any case, this is the situation here, is that they're kind of reconnoitering now. You know, who's on the other side? Who's got the best arrangement? And he was, in one sense, he was a little bit critical of Dronacharya here because he had trained up the leader of the other side, Drishtadyumna, who had made these arrangements. And so this was a kind of a backhanded criticism of Dronacharya, saying, well, now that you've done this, you've trained up the enemy, now you better fight as hard as you can, you know, like that. So any comments on this verse? We can go on and get through this part. Atra Shura Maheshvasa Vimarjana Samayudhi. Yuyudhano Varatascha Drupadas Chamaharataha. Here in this army are many heroic bowmen equal in fighting to Bhima and Arjun, great fighters like Yuyudhan, Virata, and Drupada. Purport. Even though Drishtadyumna was not a very important obstacle in the face of Dronacharya's very great power in the military art, there were many others who were causes of fear. They are mentioned by Duryodhana as great stumbling blocks on the path of victory because each and every one of them was as formidable as Bhima and Arjun. He knew the strength of Bhima and Arjun, and thus he compared the others with them. Drishtaketu Chekitana Kashirajascha Vyuryavan Purujit Kuntibhojascha Shaibhyascha Natapungavaha. There are also great heroic powerful fighters like Drishtaketu, Chekitana, Kashiraj, Purujit, Kuntibhoja, and Shaibya. Yudhamunyushta Vikranta Uttamaujashta Vyuryavan Saubhadro Draupadeyascha Sarva Eva Maharataha. There are the mighty Yudhamanyu, the very powerful Uttamauja, the son of Subhadra, and the sons of Draupadi. All these warriors are great chariot fighters. Asmakam tu Vishishtaye Tannabodha Vijotama Nayaka Mamasainyasya Sangyartham Tandravimite. But for your information, O best of Brahmins, let me tell you about the captains who are especially qualified to lead my military force. Bhavan Bhishmas Chakarnascha Kripascha Samitinjaya Ashvatthama Vikarnascha Salmadattis Tathayavacha. There are personalities like you, Bhishma, Karna, Kripa, Ashvatthama, Vikarna, and the son of Somadatta called Bhurishrava, who are always victorious in battle. Purport. Duryodhana mentions the exceptional heroes in the battle, all of whom are ever victorious. Vikarna is the brother of Duryodhana. Ashvatthama is the son of Dronacharya. And Salmadatti, or Bhurishrava, is the son of the king of the Balikas. Karna is the half-brother of Arjun, as he was born of Kunti before her marriage with King Pandu. Kripacharya's twin sister married Dronacharya. So actually, Karna was the greatest fighter. He could even fight against Arjun. The story is that Kunti was a child, and she received a blessing from the great yogi who fought against She received the blessing from Durvasa that anything she cooked would be very delicious, but also I believe that she could call any demigod. So she was able to call a demigod, and she was also like a young girl, and she just wanted to test out the power. And so she called the sun god, and the sun god came. He came, into a window, jumps through the window. And very brilliant, So she says, basically she said, oh my goodness, what have I done? But the result of her calling the sun god is that there had to be some issue, in other words, some son from the sun god. Says, oh, no, I'll lose my virginity. Says, don't worry about it. We'll restore it. So anyway, Karna was born from that. Karna was very unusual. He was born with weapons and shield and armor built into his body. And he was a very great fighter. But he was abandoned right away. Kunti couldn't have a child. She wasn't married or anything. So she abandoned this Karna. It's almost like Moses, Down, in a little bassinet, put him into the river, and down he goes, And so he's picked up by a Shudra couple, Radheya, and they raised him. And so, but he was, by nature, the son of the sun god. You can imagine how powerful he was. And so he became a great fighter also, but because he was not known as a Kshatriya, because he was raised by the Shudra couple, he was always had a lower stature. And so he was given shelter by Duryodhana because he could see how powerful he was. And so he was committed to Duryodhana, even though he was a half-brother of Arjun. As Kunti was the mother of Arjun, Bhima, and Yudhishthir. So in any case, he's like a tragic figure. He had to fight against his own brothers. And ultimately, he was killed by Arjun. But he's still on the other side, so he's on the side of Duryodhana. So now he's trying to boost his morale by citing some of the great fighters on his own side. Text 9. Anyecha bahavashura madarte tyakta jivita nana shastra praharana sarve yuddha visharada. There are many other heroes who are prepared to lay down their lives for my sake. All of them are well equipped with different kinds of weapons, and all are experienced in military science. Purport, as far as the others are concerned, like Jayadratha, Kritavarma, and Shalya, all are determined to lay down their lives for Duryodhana's sake. In other words, it is already concluded that all of them would die in the battle of Kurukshetra for joining the party of the sinful Duryodhana. Duryodhana was, of course, confident of his victory on account of the above-mentioned combined strength of his friends. So the fact that he says they're ready to lay down their lives for me, you know, he's hoping that they won't have to lay down their lives for him, and they'll actually be victorious. But this is by way of being a prediction, an unintentional prediction on the part of Duryodhana that they would indeed lay down their lives, and he would also lay his life down. Aparyaptam tadasmakam balam bhishma birakshitam. Paryaptam tvidam etesham balam bhima birakshitam. Our strength is immeasurable, and we are perfectly protected by grandfather Bhishma, whereas the strength of the Pandavas, carefully protected by Bhima, is limited. Herein, an estimation of comparative strength is made by Duryodhana. He thinks that the strength of his armed forces is immeasurable, being specifically protected by the most experienced general, grandfather Bhishma. On the other hand, the forces of the Pandavas are limited, being protected by a less experienced general, Bhima, who is like a fig in the presence of Bhishma. Duryodhana was always envious of Bhima because he knew perfectly well that if he should die at all, he would only be killed by Bhima. But at the same time, he was confident of his victory on account of the presence of Bhishma, who was a far superior general. His conclusion that he would come out of the battle victorious was well ascertained. So don't confuse Bhishma with Bhima. It's a common mistake. Bhima is one of the five Pandavas, very powerful. He's the son of Vayu. Vayu is very, very powerful, the air. Arjuna was the son of Indra, and Yudhishthira was the son of Yama. And they all had the same mother, Kunti. The other two Pandavas, Sahadev and Nakula, were the twin sons of Madri and the Ashwini Kumaras. So these five Pandavas, they all had divine heritage, inheritance. They were not ordinary human beings, actually. They were sons of gods. So they all had special powers, and Bhima's was especially this, physical prowess. He was super powerful. And what happened was that during this the assembly hall, there was this gambling match, and you probably heard about it. They tried to disrobe Draupadi, and to humiliate the Pandavas and to finish them in that way. There was this cheating. They cheated. It's a kind of a dice game that they have. And so Shakuni, he was on the side of the Duryodhana. And he was cheating Yudhishthira. So this cheating went on, and as they kept losing and losing, finally they lost Draupadi, and she was almost disrobed, but Krishna saved her at the last minute by manifesting himself in so much sari. And what happened was that when all of that happened and they were cheated and humiliated, Bhima, he vowed that he would kill all of the sons of Dhritarashtra. He had 100 sons, of whom Duryodhana was the chief. And he vowed that he would kill Dushasana, who was the one who was trying to disrobe Draupadi, and he would pull his heart out and eat it. This is a level that they were dealing with here, pretty heavy duty. And Duryodhana, that's why Duryodhana said, well, he knew that if he was going to be killed, Bhima would do the killing. And actually, Bhima fulfilled that vow. The last one he killed was Duryodhana. There was a battle after the battle. He had this big fight with the clubs. Duryodhana, believe it or not, was trained by, who? Balaram. Balaram, the brother of Krishna, actually trained Duryodhana how to fight with a club. So there's another kind of interesting peculiarity. you know, Duryodhan is on the side of the bad guys, so to speak, you know. But Balaram, he trained him how to fight with a club, so he's very skilled. And Bhima, they were fighting. Finally, Bhima, he hit him on his thigh. He had exposed his thigh to Draupadi. It was a very insulting thing, you know. It was like a sexual advance, yes, in the middle of that assembly. And this is very insulting to Draupadi, and what to speak of the Pandavas. So he said, I'm going to smash that thigh, and I'll kill you with it. So he did that. And so Duryodhan was eventually killed by Bhima. So this is the situation. And, you know, Duryodhan is trying to now, you know, how a general or a coach, you know, will try to jack up the morale of his side, so before a battle or before a great game or something like this. So he's doing that. He's trying to encourage Dronacharya, you know, and then they'll blow the conch shells to start the battle, you know, indicating that the battle is about to begin and everybody's supposed to, the adrenaline is supposed to start flowing, you know, to go into this battle. So this is, but just at the final moment, Arjun has a weakness. That's the whole key to this Bhagavad Gita. That's why we're reading it. And how he, you know, how he is finally encouraged by Krishna, that's the whole point of the Bhagavad Gita. Okay, so let's see. Ayaneshu chasarveshu yata bhagam avastita bhishmam eva virakshantu bhavanta sarva evihi. All of you must now give full support to Grandfather Bhishma as you stand at your respective strategic points of entrance into the phalanx of the army. Purport. Duryodhana, after praising the prowess of Bhishma, further considered that others might think that they had been considered less important. So in his usual diplomatic way, he tried to adjust the situation in the above words. He emphasized that Bhishma Dev was undoubtedly the greatest hero, but he was an old man, so everyone must especially think of his protection from all sides. He might become engaged in the fight, and the enemy might take advantage of his full engagement on one side. Therefore, it was important that other heroes not leave their strategic positions and allow the enemy to break the phalanx. Duryodhana clearly felt that the victory of the Kurus depended on the presence of Bhishma Dev. He was confident of the full support of Bhishma Dev and Dronacharya in the battle because he well knew that they did not even speak a word when Arjuna's wife Draupadi, in her helpless condition, had appealed to them for justice when she was being forced to appear naked in the presence of all the great generals in the assembly. Although he knew that the two generals had some sort of affection for the Pandavas, he hoped that these generals would now completely give it up as they had done during the gambling performance. Tasya sanjanayan harsham kuru vridha pitamaha singhanadam vinadyochai shankam dudmal pratapavan. Then Bhishma, the great valiant grandsire of the Kuru dynasty, the grandfather of the fighters, blew his conch shell very loudly, making a sound like the roar of a lion, giving Duryodhana joy. The grandsire of the Kuru dynasty could understand the inner meaning of the heart of his grandson Duryodhana. And out of his natural compassion for him, he tried to cheer him up by blowing his conch shell very loudly, befitting his position as a lion. Indirectly, by the symbolism of the conch shell, he informed his depressed grandson Duryodhana that he had no chance of victory in the battle, because the Supreme Lord Krishna was on the other side. But still, it was his duty to conduct the fight, and no pains would be spared in that connection. Now, Bhishma, he's called the grandfather, but he's literally, not the grandfather, because the reason why he's called Bhishma means fearsome, you know. But what was fearsome about him was his vow of celibacy. Generally, these Kshatriyas, they don't take vow of celibacy. But due to certain circumstances, which we won't get into right now, he renounced the idea of getting married or having an heir. And so he maintained this vow. And so instead of being actually having grandsons and so forth, he was known as the elder grandsire of the whole dynasty. He wasn't literally the grandfather of anybody. But he was highly respected, his fighting prowess. He's like the general. Generals generally don't, get killed on the battlefield. You know, they're supposed to figure out all of the strategy and the tactics. So they're more important than any individual soldier. And that's why he's said, well, at least we have to protect him. He's the brains of the operation. You know, that's the thing. But he also fights, as we'll see. Not like the generals we have that they sit in Florida, you know, pressing buttons on the computer while the guys in Iraq are dying, you know. That's the This is not what they do. They are on the battlefield, and sometimes they fight, as I explained with the, he was fighting against Arjuna, and ultimately he was killed. You know, Bhishma had the blessing that he would only die at his own will. He could determine the time of his death. So even though at one point he had been shot through by Arjuna and others with arrows, many arrows, he wasn't dying. And so there's a wonderful chapter in the Bhagavatam first canto, the prayers of Bhishma Dev, which portrays this beautiful, this wonderful scene of Bhishma lying there on a bed of arrows. You know, he's shot through with all these arrows. He's not dying, and all the you know, the battle is over now, and he's still lying there, and he's instructing Yudhishthir. Yudhishthir was distraught because of all the bloodshed. You know, he was actually a kind Vaishnav. And so he was distraught, and Bhishma Dev, he consoled him, and he also instructed him on so many important things about running the kingdom. And then Krishna came, and Arjuna came, and all the great sages came to see the passage of Bhishma. And he offered these beautiful prayers to Krishna as he's lying there on this bed of arrows. And when just the auspicious moment comes, astrologically, he leaves his body by his own will. And this is memorialized also in the passing of Haridas Thakur. That he also had the power to leave at his own will. And so he waited until he had the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya on his chest, and he was gazing at the beautiful face of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and then he left his body at that point. So these are, you know, great events, the passage of these great souls. And Bhishma was a great acharya. He's one of the twelve Mahajans. You know, these 12 Mahajans who are the repositories of the teachings that we learn. He's one of them. So Bhishma is a great soul, even though he's fighting on the side of Duryodhana. Any comments or questions on these few points? Yes.
You said Bhishma decided to die at an astrological time, and something about Lord Chaitanya's
face. In the modern day, you know, 500 years ago, this is 5,000 years ago. Haridas Thakur also, even though he was born in a Muslim family, he was just chanting Hare Krishna. He also had this power of leaving at his own will, leaving his body at a certain time. And so he waited for the opportune time when Lord Chaitanya was before him. He begged that he would be able to look at Lord Chaitanya's beautiful lotus face as he left his body. And Lord Chaitanya granted him that, and he left on kind of at his own will. Okay, moving along, text 12. Tasya Sanjanayan Harsham. Wait a minute. Oh, I read that. Text 13. Tatak Shankash Tabhiryascha Panavanaka Gomukha Sahasayavab Yanta Sashabdas Tumalo Bhavat. After that, the conch shells, drums, bugles, trumpets, and horns were all suddenly sounded, and the combined sound was tumultuous. Tatak shvetar hayar yukte mahati syanda nesitao madhava pandavascheva divya shankao padadmatahu. On the other side, both Lord Krishna and Arjuna, stationed on a great chariot drawn by white horses, sounded their transcendental conch shells. In contrast with the conch shell blown by Bhishma Dev, the conch shells in the hands of Krishna and Arjuna are described as transcendental. See the word divya. Divya means divine. The sounding of the transcendental conch shells indicated that there was no hope of victory for the other side because Krishna was on the side of the Pandavas. Jayastu Panduputranam Yesham Pakshe Janardana. Victory is always with the persons like the sons of Pandu because Lord Krishna is associated with them. And whenever and wherever the Lord is present, the goddess of fortune is also there because the goddess of fortune never lives alone without her husband. Therefore, victory and fortune were awaiting Arjuna, as indicated by the transcendental sound produced by the conch shell of Vishnu, or Lord Krishna. Besides that, the chariot on which both the friends were seated had been donated by Agni, the fire god, to Arjuna. And this indicated that his chariot was capable of conquering all sides wherever it was drawn over the three worlds. So Arjuna was armed by various weapons and gifts from the gods. His bow, I think, was a gift from Indra, and he's known as Vijay. You know, Vijay means the victor. He's always victorious in battle. And let us turn, just for reference, to the very last verse of the Bhagavad Gita, which is spoken by Sanjay as he's giving kind of a running commentary at a distance. And it says, text 78 in chapter 18 on page 761 of the latest edition of the book, if you have the 2004 edition. Yatra yogeshara krishna yatra parto dhunurdhraha tatra shir vijayo bhuti dhruva niti matir mama. Wherever there is Krishna, the master of all mystics, and wherever there is Arjun, the supreme archer, there will also certainly be opulence, victory, extraordinary power, and morality. That is my opinion. So because Krishna is on the side of Arjun, there will be victory for sure. But that's also true of any institution connected with Krishna. That even though, you always have to remember that it looked pretty bleak here for the Pandavas. Of course, now they have an army, but even so, they're outnumbered. Bhishma's on the other side, Drona's on the other side. But even before, don't forget before, when they had no army, when they were exiles, they were on the run from Duryodhana and his agents. They tried to immolate them in the house of lack. They tried to poison them. In so many ways, they were attacking them. And they were on the run. But they had Krishna. They always were remembering Krishna, their dear friend. And so ultimately, they came out victorious. So the same is true for ourselves individually and for the institution that adheres to the service of Krishna. It may be some black days. There may be some, it seems like it's impossible that we can be victorious over our senses, that we can be victorious over our mind, that we can conquer, the black waves of the Kali Yuga, which are so thick with demonic energy. But because Krishna's on the side of his devotees, ultimately they come out successful. And this movement is a testimony to it. The very existence of this movement, which is now spread all over the world, millions of books and dozens of languages, thousands and thousands of devotees, millions of people have been affected by it's all the result of Prabhupada's heroic activity. He had Krishna on his side and nothing else. But that's all. If you have Krishna, you have everything. So we should take courage from that also in our own battles, with our own senses in mind and all of our anarthas and things that we bring to the table, that we will also be, if we are sincere in praying for Krishna's mercy and his blessings in the endeavor, in the fight. Because we're also on a battlefield. Prabhupada mentions that. It's not that, the Pandavas are symbolic of the senses. They're real Pandavas. Krishna's there, the chariot's there. The battle took place on that place, Kurukshetra, which you can visit today. But still, Arjuna represents every man. This is the word every man. It means all souls. Conditioned souls. Even though he's a great devotee, he takes the role of a conditioned soul. And overcoming his own battles should be a great inspiration for us also on our battlefield that we have to fight against the forces that are trying to drag us down. Okay, any final comments or questions? Mother Mangal Prabhu. Yes, yes. Yeah, Prabhupada was greatly inspired by, the Bhagavad Gita and this idea of the battlefield. He was definitely a warrior. Oh, yeah. He was known as the Senapati. The Senapati means the general that Lord Chaitanya engaged to somehow get these armies, this ragtag army of souls to, represent Krishna consciousness and conquer over the forces of illusion that are so prominent. Yes?
It says in 78:18, wherever there is Krishna and Arjuna, there will be victory, extraordinary power, morality, and opulence. So I was wondering, when someone puts a picture of them, Arjuna and Krishna, in their house,
won't be long before you have victory, morality, and all these other things. All glories to Srila Prabhupada and Hare Krishna.